So hello all and welcome. This is I, the realist philosopher. And this is my fat ass without a shirt on in my very sparse apartment. Forgive the mess. I just moved all of my remaining stuff from a storage unit I rented about 9 months ago, so I haven't had a chance yet to essentially get it all situated into more permanent storage in my apartment, and into the bed and the closet. I gotta rebox a lot of this stuff and find somewhere to put it. Anyway, why do I have no shirt on? Because I'm about to do very short sword workout, and I usually do it naked, so you're lucky I have pants on. So yeah, look at my fat ass. Maybe not fat in the general sense of fat compared to how lean I was before I got sick. But anyway, I have talked in passing in the past about sword, working the sword. The sword being my main way to stay fit. It's only right way, really. I used to be a boxer for like 30 years, but I got so many injuries from it that I had to quit doing it. I thought about taking it up again, but now the terrible health I'm in, it's very difficult for me to do much anything right now. So the way I start my sword workouts, generally speaking, is warm up, very long warm up. Because number one, I'm old, and number two, there's a lot of repetition. I'm not able to move very fast in this place because it's quite small. The transitions of the cuts essentially will cause the sword to hit a wall or hit a window and tear the blinds apart, and that will be bad. So I can't do that. So I have to move very slowly. Today's workout, I'm going to be using a sword, an actual real sword. I don't generally do that, but I thought you'd enjoy that. It's here. I just built this sword, actually, in a way made it. Back in December of last year, I saw an advert on Craigslist that had some guy selling a big giant box of sword parts for like $50. Various blades and guards, in the case of a Japanese sword like this, be a Suba. And I said to myself, well, I'll go take a look at it because that'll be cool. I'm actually also a trained smith, and I got all sorts of skills in the mechanical realm. I have made actual swords in the past just for the fun of it. But anyway, I'm not going to get into that. It's not relevant, and I don't want to, so. But, not for a living, just fun hobby, essentially. We're very good at it, by the way. But, since I have that knowledge, I thought, well, I can buy some of these, and I'll buy the box, maybe, if there's any good in there, and I'll build some swords, and I can sell them and make some money. I also found some good stuff in there. The guy was a dullard. He was a drunk and a drug addict. And he didn't realize that in the box was actually an authentically made, traditionally made Japanese katana, which isn't this one, by the way. But this is a good steel regardless. And I have yet to get around to rebuilding that into an actual blade. But anyway, this sword right here is interesting. So, one thing about this blade is that it stays the same thickness from the guard to the tip, which is unusual. Usually the blade thickness tapers from the guard to the tip for balance purposes. So you don't need to have as heavy a blade. It reduces the weight and also contributes to better balance. So you don't have to use heavier material in the pommel or longer tang, again adding more weight. I don't care. I train with stuff much heavier than this. I don't give a crap. I'm also a master of the sword. I've been doing this for 40 plus years. Weight, I don't give a crap. It doesn't matter to me. But this sword right here is interesting. Because one problem that you do get when you taper blade is less material, and so it's not going to be as strong. This is the same thickness from the guard to the tip. Now, it does taper a little bit in width, but very little. So I would call this, I have my own terminologies. I've been doing this a long time. I'm the only person in the world who can single-handedly use a heavy subrito, so I'll say whatever the hell I want to say. So a sword like this would be referred to as a master sword, and a master sword would essentially, as I would call it, be a blade with the lowest balance point possible, as well as a thick and strong blade as well. I haven't needed to remove lots of blade to create good balance, and I can still use it effectively, and even with the low balance point, I have the ability to cut with it very well. The balance point on this blade is at just at 4 inches, which is very low. Katanas generally will be between 4 to 6 inches. The higher the balance point, the better it's going to cut naturally on its own. The lower the balance point, the more lively, you could say, the blade feels. Essentially, the easier it is to control and transition. But the downside is that it won't cut as effectively on its own. So the lower the balance point, the more you're going to have to rely on skill instead of the blade's weight to get it to work effectively. So this sword is about, I'd say, 2 pounds 4, 2 pounds 5 ounces, getting pretty heavy for a long sword. The reason for that partially is, if you can see here, the big box of sword parts also had a bunch of brass fittings that I used to create a makeshift pommel that I built up and attached, and that ain't going nowhere. And so I got the balance point right where I wanted it. Now, if I want something that cuts a little more effectively without me having to worry as much about skill, I could get something a little heavier. But a blade will cut more effectively. You get a higher balance point, but it's more difficult to control. But again, so I'll be using this sword here. I'm not quite done yet. Usually there's a fitting here where the wood grip meets the guard that fits pretty snugly to stop. Yeah, and most of the force when you do cut is going to be experienced here structurally, and usually that helps stop the wood from cracking. I'm going to use a compression wrap of a high tensile strength industrial thread. If you think that doesn't sound very strong, I can't. It's like a clothing thread, but I can't break it. It's got like 100-pound test strength. So coat this with resin and then do a wrap about a quarter to a half inch there. It's actually better than having a fitting there. And then the sword will be done. Of course, I need to sharpen it. It's not very sharp. It does have an edge, but it's not great. It's good steel, correctly heat-treated and tempered. Generally, that's very hard to find. There were a whole bunch of scabbards and blades. They were all unfitted, and I had to essentially put everything together myself. If you're wondering why this grip looks different and unusual as compared to what you normally see with a katana, it's not wrapped. I've always preferred unwrapped grips. I don't need a grip to keep my grip. I grip the sword correctly. I use it correctly. I know what the hell I'm doing. I'm one of the best in the world at this. I don't need a grip on the sword. So, anyway. As far as warming up, nothing particularly complicated. I start with the wrists. essentially the parts of your body that get the most use when you're working with the sword are your wrists and really your shoulders. Now, I suffer from carpal tunnel syndrome. I have to sleep with wraps on my hands, made specifically for people who have this issue. And, I've been wearing it for years. And that's life. Discipline has a cost. And when it comes to the sword, that cost, if you practice it with the kind of discipline and, actual correctness, you probably will have this same problem. Well, maybe not. I'm a little more, I believe in quality over quantity, but when I was in good physical health, I was doing between 7 and 8 hours of sword work a week. You can say, oh, well, that doesn't sound like very much. I was doing between 12 and 1,400 cuts each day, in addition to supplementary movements, movements that essentially will contribute to cutting ability and other movements for countering enemies and what you might call defensive motions, although if you're practicing the sword correctly, you're not really defending so much as redirecting, you're not doing anything that doesn't gain you anything, so blocks are really not much of a thing. They can do happen, but only if it leads to some kind of repose, some kind of counter to your enemy that ends the engagement, that ends you some, that gains you some kind of advantage. What you see in Star Wars movies and movies where people are using, swords tapping away at each other, that's not a real thing. That's total complete nonsense. That's not how sword work actually works. But it looks good on screen. But anyway, in addition to the other, I guess you could call them forms, and cutting, that's quite a bit. I don't do anything near that now. Number one, I can't move fast enough. So, and I'm still not anywhere near the fitness level that I was a year ago. So I just move slowly in here. I do slow forms. I tried to do some controlled draw cutting in here a little faster because that's something that I can control a little better and still not break the windows. So now I alternate between my wrists and my shoulders. Now your shoulders are what take a brunt because they in fact truly are very, very fragile. So your hands, wrists, and your shoulders. So I work very hard on warming them up. So throughout my warm-up, I work the shoulders and the wrist alternately, and the biceps as well. The triceps get worked also while I'm working the shoulders, doing some light lifting throughout the warm-up. Now, my goal here is not to do any kind of heavy weightlifting. It's just to essentially warm up to get the muscles ready for something a little more difficult. And I said I do this stuff. I don't like to be encumbered. And I like to shed as much heat as possible, so I've always practiced in the au naturel, essentially naked, for like 30 years now. It's just the way that I do it. Just get too hot, Just get too hot. So, yeah.
Sound is working, I hope.
Yeah, it's working. But Yeah, I know it seems tedious. Now, this is what I practice with. So I do alternating days. So there are some, what you might call modern day training principles, but not really. These go back to how ancient Romans trained in gladiatorial games. They would have off days and on days. On days where they would do heavier, more intense workouts, and then off days where it was lighter. I do something similar in that on my off days, I do mostly the same stuff with a lighter weapon. So this weighs around 4 pounds. Sounds light, but not for a sword. Your average long sword is going to weigh around 2 pounds, 3 ounces. To 2 pounds on the higher end, maybe 2.5 pounds, but that's getting kind of heavy for a real sword. And it's going to have a, if it's a decent sword, depending on what it's going to be used for, of course, but most long swords can be used one or two-handed. Most people use them two-handed because they just don't have the skill to use them one-handed. You're supposed to use a sword one-handed, though. That is the most effective way to do so, but it takes a lot more skill. Most people just fall back on a two-handed grip, something like this, for more control. When they're transitioning into a cut and they use both hands and then they transition and then back. I do that all one-handed. Again, I'm the only person in the world that can use this thing with one hand actually effectively and for hours and hours because my technique is that good. How long is that going to take you? It probably won't be able to do that. Subritos are not meant to be used for actual cutting or practice beyond warming up. They're just too heavy. They have terrible balance. I don't know what the balance point is on this thing. 8-9 inches. That's horrible. I say good. I want the worst balance possible because if I can control this heavy piece of crap, then I can very easily and much more effectively use a real sword that has really good balance and is much lighter. Most people will train that way, though. Most people will use something that's much better balanced and much lighter. Something like this. I think this is about 25, 26 ounces. Quite light. Not my cup of tea. It's too well balanced, even for a Boken. It's got a taper. I don't like that. I will use it sometimes, though, on my off day. I don't practice with real swords anymore. Haven't for years. It's not anything that matters to me at all. I'm just going to do that today for you guys and nothing more. Now, again, this is not heavy. You know, 4 pounds of just over-the-head lift. It's nothing. It's not meant to be anything. The sword workout is the anything. I don't give a crap. I'm not lifting weights here. Though I will end up eventually doing like, not today. This is a off day. Hence using the real sword, it's so light and easy to use. It's got better balance even than the Bokens. So the weight distribution is much better. Generally a real sword like that, with that kind of weight I would never use. I mean, it's no point. practicing with something like that can be dangerous. As oftentimes you are pushing yourself to your failure point and beyond. It's not something I've been able to do for a while since I got sick, but you don't want to be using a live piece of steel that's quite sharp when you are pushing yourself to make actual mistakes that you then learn from. You don't want to take that risk, so you always use a wooden sword. Not that there's not still risk there, but it's far reduced. And I'm not so arrogant or full of hubris to think that something like that couldn't happen, especially in here where it's so small, I can't really use the sword the way I would like. Luckily for me, though, physically, I'm not so able anyway, so it's kind of a moot point. I'd have to be moving pretty slow anyway. But especially down here, we gotta avoid a friggin' sofa bed and these blinds and this TV that I've never watched. I've been here 9 months, is it? Yeah. But yeah, so I'll alternate between the biceps, triceps, shoulders, and the wrists until they're warmed up. What I used to do was 3 sets. Now, generally speaking, usually before doing any weight, I would actually do... no weight arm lifts. Well, realist, what's the point? There's no point, there's no weight. Well, no, that's the point. You want to start out slow, and you want to start out just being concerned about warming up the joint. Because the shoulder, my shoulders are a mess. Because when I was younger and training, when I was a kid, I didn't do all that stuff. And so all the injuries I have, anywhere tear pain, well, not any, but... the injuries, the discomfort, most of that is from my first 10 years of training. Just doing stuff wrong, not warming up. So here we are doing exercises which focus solely on the forearms. Now, the strongest muscle and what is going to become strong as F and very well-developed and veiny and muscular and jacked are your forearms. Maybe you can tell my forearms are pretty big compared to the rest. They are, but not like Popeye, but they are jacked and very veiny. So any type of sword work, fencing, the forearm is going to be the strongest, and it has to be. Your striking enemies, you're cutting flesh, cutting bone, in some instances cutting through hard leather, whacking on steel in the form of armor. So you can't not have strong forearms. I mean, that is what's holding the blade. That is the part of the body that is closest to the point of contact. It requires the most fine control. You're taking forces, you cut. You're having to redirect that energy. It's in the forearm that that really occurs. I mean, truthfully, when you are cutting, it's the entire body. That's why you can use the sword one-handed as opposed to a lot of practitioners who use the offhand as a counter lever. And that's where they get a lot of their power. So they're able to cheat and not have correct technique, which takes decades. And so, I'm master of the sword. Look at this. They got a two-handed grip, and they're not using the body so much, just the counter lever. And so the counter lever and the drawing, they're able to effectively cut, but they need 2 hands to do what I can do with 1 hand. And I've actually found in testing and working with other swordsmen when I was younger, I don't do that no more. The ego stuff, I don't care. I do miss the sparring, though, but that's neither here nor there. That in most cases, I can actually generate more power with 1 hand than they could with 2. And that's simply because they hadn't developed proper technique. I mean, your whole body is compared to just your arms, which has more power. But it takes decades to develop that skill, not just years. So cantilever technique, yeah, and... sometimes it is more effective or necessary to use 2 hands, but that's contextual, that's situational in nature. Usually it's not the case. And of course, if you can use the sword one-handed, then you can use 2 of them. Now I have 2 polyurethane plastic
scimitars here for that have shorter blades, and when I practice, if I practice with two swords, I'd use these simply because there's so little room in here. I could use two Supritos. That would be hard on my wrist, though. If I wanted a challenge, though, usually I switch from one hand to another when using the Superito, but I could use two at once. Not right now, though. Again, the fitness just isn't there anymore. Yes, I can do this with the Superito, but I'm just warming the arm up. So the way I typically work the sword is on day, Superito, off day, basically the same workout, but with a lighter weapon like this, and then on day, Superito, and then rest. So 3-1-3-1, basically, something like that. Well, that's not something like that, it is that. So yeah, you're thinking the warm-up is taking a long time. Of course it does. So if you want to have any real longevity practicing the sword, if you want to be having a discipline that you can pursue mastery of for your entire life, well, that's a long game. It's not a short game. It's a long game. And if you're going to be playing a long game, it's going to be something that, even in the microcosm of doing it on a daily basis, you need to take your time. And so you warm up so that your body doesn't get torn up. And then you can keep doing it into your old age. Now, thanks to the practice of the sword, I do have pretty good range of motion, pretty decent mobility. Most, I guess, would consider it very good, actually. Especially at my age, even though I'm now fat. I'll lose the weight eventually as my exercise increases. But really, just put the fork down and eat less. It's easy for you to say. It's just my metabolism is still not, it's still shot, you know. But yeah, it is that simple, by the way. Just put the fork down. But anyway. So yeah, this is focusing on the forearm. There's another exercise I do as well. I may or may not do before, but I almost always will try to do after. But you don't want to, of course, do too much with the warm-up, because the warm-up is just preparation for, well, the workout itself. But the sword is kind of a little different, because this is not weightlifting, and it's something you're doing on a daily basis. So endurance is really as much the focus as, say, the workout itself. If you don't have endurance, you really can't master these movements to the extent required or maintain the skill required, because you're talking about, you know, thousands and thousands of movements. Yeah, it takes a while. But anyway, so, yeah, more windmill, yeah. And you want to do these until any shoulder pain is gone. Well, any kind of, yeah, basically. Now, I had to lay off of working out for the majority of my recuperation. There were various periods during it that I tried to, but it just made it impossible, made it very difficult for me to do anything else. And I had to work, and I have to work, so I had to choose between the two. But now, recently, because I found, you know, the methylene blue, the cacao, I mean, stuff that will actually has helped big time with my energy levels, and my heart isn't hurting anymore. I can now get back to it, although very slowly, with a very little amount of exercise. I don't include the
warm-up time, by the way, because that's not really working out. So right now, what I'm doing, spinning through the fingers, I'm just trying to warm up the hands and the wrists as much as possible. Again, I've got the carpal tunnel. Doesn't really affect my use of the sword. Just bothers me when I'm trying to sleep, which is its own problem, but, that's life. But anyway, for time's sake, I'm probably not going to be as thorough in this workout as I would normally be. Anyway. Now, this is my lightest spoken. This only weighs like a pound. Sounds like nothing. When would I use this? Well, maybe for warm-up and for that kind of finger play. Yeah. Usually I would go up in weight even in the warm-up. And increase the amount of weight. I have several Superitos. I use those as my weight. And normally I just go from one, then two, then three, and then I'd be fully warmed up. I'm just going to do two today because it's the off day, and also because, well, I'm a little tired. I've only been doing two, not three. I'm just not back to where I was. So, trying to keep it down a bit. So as you can see, the sword itself, we haven't even gotten to the workout. The warm-up is a big part. You're just, you're doing so much. You're using your entire body. Uniformity of motion is very important. This is something that a lot of you young guys out there forget to do. You don't warm up. And so you get injuries, and let me tell you, as an old guy, that shit is cumulative. That's cumulative, it is, and it builds up, and I've got aches, and I've got pains that I don't need. If I had just been a little more conscientious about the warm-up, wouldn't have a problem. Now, do these, little lifts help? Maybe when I'm doing three, it's a form of resistance. I did used to lift weights. There was about a 8-year period there where I was working out and was super strong. Everything I did was old school, though, in the weightlifting. I used calisthenics mixed with springs, which is how they used to work out way back when, essentially... 2 grips. The back extender, you've seen them, but I used it for everything. I mean, you can work out every upper body muscle with the springs, even the lower if you're really creative. If I recall, each spring was something like 12, 15 pounds of resistance. Worked extremely well. But again, injuries and shift and change of focus, really. I wanted to focus all of my time and all of my effort on the sword. And you can, of course, be a jack of all trades if you want, but you'll be a master of none. Mastering something like the sword is really going to take most of your physical stamina and capability. If you choose to use the sword, master the sword, you're going to have to pass on doing most other stuff. And now you can do it, but you won't master it. Not if you're doing it every other day. So you have to choose what you want. What do you want to master? What are your priorities? So, I eventually reached a point where it's like, okay, that's enough. I'm just going to focus on this, You got to think what your priorities are. If you're just somebody that wants to look better and move better and aesthetically pleasing appearance, then don't do this. People who are hardcore, they're practicing this. You can practice the sword and gain some of those benefits. I should say that if you're really serious about it and want to master it, but you also want to be aesthetic and you want to look really good and you want to be big and muscular, this ain't for you. This is not for you. Of course, this is also for utility, but I endeavor to be as light as I possibly can while still having enough muscle on myself to do what I need to do, have a general level of decent strength. I'm all about utility. I don't want to be too big. I don't want to be too muscular. I don't want to be running, you know, 190 anymore. I was really a big guy. I had a lot of muscle, and it was interesting. I was super strong, man. I could juke a 85-pound dumbbell over my head with one hand without too much effort. But, you know, if you're going to be doing that and you're going to be super strong, you're having to split your time, and wasn't able to do as much with the sword. I wasn't able to really achieve my goals and ends in that regard. And I had to make a decision. And I think as a man, it's very important, because physicality is so much a part of our lives. I think as a dude, it's very important for you to find something that's physically challenging and to seek to achieve mastery. Now, you may not achieve that mastery, but you need to seek it out. And, of course, there are also differing levels of mastery as well. I'm continually having, or I was anyway, I've been recovering, of course, the past year, but I was always, and have actually, especially of late, had to be continually seeking to challenge myself in new and interesting ways as my level of mastery increases, from eventually deciding to take up a suburito in place of a real sword or boken because that stuff just became too freaking easy, to focusing on the most minute aspects of your movements insofar as things like, say, your transitions, and just refinement is really what I'm talking about. So refining technique. And there's also a mental and mental aspect, of course, beyond the physical. I'm not going to start talking about anything spiritual. I don't get into that crap. But not only does your body have to be in good shape, which mine ain't, but the mental aspect is equally important. Many would argue more so, in point of fact. You got to have the right mindset as well. If you're going to pursue this seriously, you're going to have to learn certain states of mind and overcoming one's fear of death. That's a toughie. Most people can't do that. But anyway, they're like, yeah, this will take a long time. Keep in mind I'm talking a lot too, but my warm-up would generally take 45 minutes. That seems like a lot. Sure, it is. If you're going to dedicate yourself to anything, it's worth it to do it right. Keep in mind, if you warm up for that kind of amount of time, you're probably not going to get injured. So I'm not looking to prove anything to anybody else or myself. There's no ego involved. I'm not just jumping right into the workout. I want to prepare. And so in this way, I am preparing. I keep in mind, yes, I still do have physical ailments, but those are from the time, for the most part, that I didn't know, I didn't do what I was supposed to be doing, right? So, the mistakes of youth. That's why you listen to people like me and take my advice and learn from someone like myself so that you don't make the same mistakes. That's the true heart of wisdom, okay? You learn from others so you don't make those same mistakes. The learning is the key part. It doesn't have to be from your own mistakes. You're going to make mistakes too, but you want to minimize those as much as possible. Let's be honest here. So, you might be thinking, oh, you're tiring yourself out. Oh, no, no, no. No, 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 no. So, as you can see the veins and the development of my forearms, no. They jacked this a mofo. My forearms are very strong. And they have to be. They have to be beyond strong. You're talking about thousands of cuts. When you were someone wielding a sword in battle, you would have to be able to cut for hours and hours. So I train as authentically as possible at endurance. Proper technique and endurance are the goal. Again, I can't really train as effectively as I'd like here. Probably a good thing, because even though I've recovered a lot in the past month and a half with this new treatment protocol I'm on, not all that fit anymore. Yeah, I've run to fat here. So it's probably a good thing I don't have the space to be tempted to do too much. I'm just now getting back to a point where I can consistently exercise without my heart hurting. And before, I was having to exercise after working. Now, I can do it before. I mean, for most of my life, I did my workout before work. But I've been able to, if and when I could, work out. Anyways, more. This is taking longer than it normally would, because I'm yammering so much. Now, I might eventually take up like some resistance work again. It would just be not a lot. But, you know, just a little bit. Focus on main muscle groups. Build a little bit more muscle up. I lost some due to my illness. And then, of course, you're getting older, so you want to do everything you can to maintain muscle mass, right? You don't want to become one of those emaciated stick figure, skinny fat old people, which I kind of am now anyway, that needs a walker to move around, because you just didn't do the due diligence that the work required when you were younger. It's not even a lot that's required to keep the muscle. So I know I'm going to have to do that. Oh, realist, you're contradicting yourself. You said you can't do... No, I said you can't master multiple things. Just mastering one takes a lifetime, yo. So, yeah, sure. And will that take away from my sword work? No, I'm talking about maybe doing like a little bit of lifting. Like on the off days or in the evening, and maybe split it up. Not a lot of weightlifting, just something that focuses on, you know, my biggest muscle groups. And just so that I maintain, you know, mobility and muscle mass. Alright, gotta wash the hands and then warm the shoulders up a little more. So once I wash my hands, I like to do some shoulder shaking. Now this is a very effective way to warm up muscles. Might say, oh, it's overdoing it. Nope. And we'll reach a very high point. Very high. Alternate. You get to that really high point. So mobility is the key. That's what you're focusing on. Dry the hands. I always wash my hands beforehand, and I usually wash the grip on the sword as well. So that's something I need to do now because I'm not moving fast enough with the blade to create the momentum required that would maybe cause some kind of slippage or issue. Making sure I still hear some cracks and crackles, so it means I'm not done. Don't want to be hearing those too much. What about the legs? Really, still take care of themselves. They're not going through the huge range of motion and the tugging and the pulling and the effort of having to redirect the blade and the same range of motion coupled with the transitions I have to do that is occurring with the sword. Okay, good. Better, better, better. More better, butter. All right. You're going to have to forgive my slow moving. So first there's the warm-up, and then there's the warm-up after the warm-up. So yes, I've warmed up, but I haven't really warmed up, as it were. So the initial warm-up is just that. It's general. I'm still warming up. This is more specific. So there's the general warm-up, and there's this specific warm-up. This is targeting more specific. Alarm, sorry. So this is targeting the more specific muscles. Before was, well, again, general. So there's two ways you can transition after a cut. You can cut and return the blade along its former path, or you can, and which is what is more uniformly practiced in real combat, especially if you're facing multiple foes, but of course it depends on the context of the situation, is to cut and then transition to another cut. I forgot to start a timer. So I'm currently only doing 25 minutes every workout, as opposed to an hour and a half daily, which is what I used to do. But anyway, speed here is not the goal. Now, of course, this type of workout I used to only do once a week, moving slowly, focusing on technique and control, but because I live in a shoebox and because my health is so poor anyway, this has now become more of my workout. So this sword is very nice in that it has such a low balance point. It's very easy to use and to move with. But because of the low balance point, the light weight, it's not nearly as effective at cutting. Which makes sense. More weight forward of the pommel, more weight, more mass. More mass, better cut. So if you don't have the mass, you must rely on your own skill and technical ability to create the requisite power required. So while a master sword, which is what I call it, my own nomenclature, is going to be easier to use in the sense that it doesn't have as much weight forward of the pommel, it feels more lively, doesn't have as much inherent power because of that. You're gonna have to have the necessary skill to use it. Otherwise, you may not have the requisite power to cut through even the lightest of armor. And most enemies in real combat are going to have some kind of protection. So you need to have something that can hit with some force. Now, of course, one thing that is aided by the getting pop-ups on my screen here. It's freaking annoying. All right. One thing that is aided by a, despite also those kind of motions is the thrust, when you've got that lower balance point. But anyway, your focus should be on mastering the cut. That is the hardest aspect of the sword's use, the cut. It'll take you decades to master, because it takes millions of cuts to master. So millions of cuts, it's going to take you a long, long time to do. Probably decades. Your body can only take so much in a given day. So if you're going to be doing 1,000 or 12 or 1,500 cuts a day, sounds like a lot, but it's a lot less than a million. And you're going to need 3 to 4 million to master the sword, so you better get started. Now, if you just think the sword is cool and you want to do it for fun and you're not terribly concerned about mastery, well, then by all means, don't worry about that kind of number, that kind of hallmark. But if you want to master it, that is a different matter entirely. Now you're asking why. Well, you look to be having no problem controlling the blade. Why don't you practice all the time with the real sword? Again, it's not enough of a challenge. The weight is decent, but the balance is too good. I don't want good balance. I want crappy balance. Crappy balance sword that's heavy is difficult to use and control. If you can master a crappily balanced sword that is heavy, then you are a master. If you can use it with equal technical ability to something like this, well, oof, that's good. That's the ticket. That's challenging. Why would you want to make things easier on yourself if you don't have to? Why would you want to do that? You shouldn't want to do that. The whole point is to challenge yourself. Challenging oneself is where mastery comes in. Mastery doesn't come from making things easy for yourself. It comes from making things difficult. So the thrust is aided by a weapon like this, and I'm not making things very hard on myself. My breathing is only a little labored now because I'm talking while I'm also moving. Keep in mind, I had a heart attack, septic shock, so basically I can't move as fast or as well or as much as I used to. The kind of illness I had takes years to recover, if you ever recover from it. So this is a simple transition. Cut. Transition. Cut. So, yes. Used to doing this and watching myself on a screen at the same time. Disconcerting, but thank you. All right, so I always drink coffee when I work out, but I want to be a little more authentic and focused the rest of my workout, so I'm going to end things here.
Any questions, leave them in the comments.